I'm Jeff Kaplan, and you're listening to The Instance.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
The audible cracking open of a Pepsi can only mean one thing.
I saw it. Pepsi Max, Scott. I take it to the max.
That was perfect timing, because right when it kicked, yeah, the music went rump. And it was
That you. I assume you're gonna fade us up.
Yeah,
it's fine. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Whoops. I don't. I like this sort of thing on my shows, so it's all good. Hey, everybody, welcome back to The Instance. It's episode 533 of The Instance. That means we are a good couple of weeks into this expansion. Is this the third week? Week three? Since the launch of this thing? I think that's right. Right?
Yes.
Yes.
Three?
Yes, this is the... Because this would have been the third post-launch episode, but we missed last week.
Oh, right. Yeah, I had issues last week. Everything's fine now, though.
It's the issue of no internet.
Yeah, internet is a big issue, turns out, for cross-country and continental.
4G. That's what you want to get.
Yeah.
4G.
Yeah, is that
I leveled to 120 on 4G.
Mm,
4G is where it's at.
Hold on. Did you really? You just...
Yeah, because... I was in Germany,
yeah,
and it was one of the few times post-launch where I had time to myself.
Mm.
And so, you know, I logged onto the hotel Wi-Fi, and I had a ping of 6,000 on the hotel Wi-Fi. I was like, this is ridiculous. So I loaded up. I just tethered it to my phone, 4G, ping of, I think it was like 120.
Oh.
So I was like, that's perfectly serviceable. I will level. Thank you.
Yeah. No, that's great. We're talking about Terpstra's trip, obviously, to Cologne, Germany, where he helped host some Blizzard stuff for the Gamescom convention, which happens there on a yearly basis. And it's good to have you back, but I also would like to know your overall impressions of that event, even though we saw you do it, and it looked really good. You did a great job from our perspective.
I know. Yeah. It was weird. I was on the phone to Mike, and I was saying to Mike, are you sure you want me to do it again? And he said, look... we can't do it without you. And I was like, look, Mike Morheim, I need you to say those three magic words. He said, I love you. I said, not that. I said, pay rise incoming. And they managed to afford me. And I went back out there. And yeah, it was really good. It was a weird show in that everything was announced before the show.
Yeah.
So in the previous years, it's been like, oh, okay, shh, don't tell anyone. But we're gonna launch this thing. We got this new cinematic we're gonna surprise people with. Mm-hmm. Whereas this time around, it was very much like, yeah, so on Friday, stay tuned. We're gonna have the Warbringers Ashara piece. Mm-hmm. Nintendo 3's out on Switch, and you know, all these things that they did, which I think alleviate a lot of logistic nightmares. Because if you try and keep a secret when you're setting up kind of, I don't know how many there were, like 200 Nintendo Switches, and all of the branding that says Nintendo Switch, Diablo 3 Eternal Collection, I think that would have been a bit of an ask. So I get why they kind of got ahead on it. But it meant for me, it was super chill. Like, I didn't have to worry about accidentally saying the wrong thing. Well, I always have to worry about saying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, about saying stuff early or anything like that. So that was really nice. And I think it was really good. I was really pleased with the Ashara piece. Like, I got to see it a little bit early, and I watched it like in a hotel room on someone's laptop, and it was pretty cool. But then in the convention hall with the crazy bass, you know, those drums of Nazoth are crazy. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So there's some really cool moments. I had a lot of fun out there.
My favorite thing that I saw you do was this moment where you were on a couch or something. And a few of you were playing Diablo 3 on Switch.
Yep.
And in my head, I'm thinking, they probably don't have a ton to say here because it's Diablo 3. We've all been playing it for hours and hours and hours and hours since 2012.
And yet you got to fill 30 minutes. Yeah. I know.
So there was a couple of moments of just sort of quiet, like no one had anything to say while you guys were playing that thing. And of course the game volume's very low because the expectation is that you guys will
not
have
in my ears. I can tell you now. Yeah. I couldn't hear shit. I was just bah, 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 bah. Yeah, that's all I got is the game blaring away in my ears.
Really? Because at home we didn't see any of that, which is
the thing is I watch back a few bits, and basically anytime I'm not on that desk, I've got these in ears that are playing back my voice really loud. So I start
talking like this.
I hate that.
And it's really disconcerting what you're saying.
Yep.
You know, it's
When I was at the couch at BlizzCon, when I was on the couch at BlizzCon, same thing. That thing just blares your own voice into your ears in such a way that you feel like you're not doing it right at first, anyway, and then you can kind of get used to it. But all right, well, that's all great. Bits and pieces of that will come up through today's show. Of course, Garrett Weinzierl's back. Hello, Garrett.
Hey guys.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, we've been doing a fun little stream. Garrett and I and Kyle, when he's here, although he's out of town today, but we're still doing the stream. We'll fill out our team however we can. But after the show. Right around, what did we start? I forget now.
Noon
my time.
Right? 4 p.m.
Yeah, noon my time.
Noon Central, 2 p.m. Eastern.
Noon Mountain, 2 p.m. Eastern. Central. Central. There you go.
I'm bad at time.
We're all bad at time.
I just need to know what time I have to show up.
We need to go to Caverns of Time and then lament the fact that they still have that N64 looking bunch of asteroids up in the sky. Anyway,
yeah, looks like old Space Mountain cookie going by.
I freaking hate that so bad.
I love it because they've redone Space Mountain. They haven't redone Caverns of Time.
Yeah, no, they'll let that just stay and it's fine. Whatever. One texture. It takes somebody 5 seconds. Come on, Blizzard. What do we pay you for? But anyway, it's good to be doing those runs and stuff. We're hoping to. Possibly.
So what are the streams? You haven't said what they are.
Oh.
Is it Island Expeditions? Is it Dungeons? What are you doing?
Right now, it's been mostly Dungeons. We did, the first week we did it, we did a bunch of normals and got people some gear and stuff. And then we may have dabbled in Heroic that day. I don't remember. But last week it was all Heroics. Then we take some time to go jack around people with War Mode on and PvP. And
boy, there had to be a better choice of words for that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, exactly. Probably.
I like to jack around people as well, Scott, but it gets me in a lot of trouble. What eye level are you now?
Me?
You've been deep.
I'm almost 820 with my main.
Did you say 820?
I'm sorry.
320.
I forgot about the squish. Okay. I have such memories of Legion, and 830 or 820 was like the number you had to be, and I still think of that. But no, 320 with the Demon Hunter, and the Hunter's getting there. He's like, I don't know, 814 or something.
814. Wow.
314. Frick. I can't get the 8 out of my head. Squish, everybody. Squish. We had a squish. But yeah, 2 120s rocking it. Got a third on the way with
both Horde?
Those two are Horde. Yep, I have an Alliance character I'm working on. Roy.
Okay, good.
Roy is doing great.
It's the most Alliance name you could get.
Oh, big time. Big time. And I've had that.
Roy of the Alliance.
You weren't here. You weren't here for all this. But
fellow Alliance friends.
There's like a whole story about why Roy got boosted. We actually did it on the show one of the weeks you were gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I went and spent $60 to boost an Alliance tune.
It was pretty much like the whole episode, just Patrick seeing that Scott had changed over to the game screen on the stream and then yelling at him, don't you do it, Scott.
Yeah.
Your time is worth more than, it takes so long to level, Scott. That's why they did priced it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Is it's like $60 or the equivalent of like, you know, 60 hours. And you're like, nah, sorry, I'm just going to spend
or more if I start from nothing. Like, I guess I could do an Alliance race and start at 20, but, or do like a, I didn't want to be a, Death Knight or something dumb like that. I wanted to do what I wanted to do with a druid, and I have this Roy character, 3-letter name, who has those anymore? So I thought, well, I gotta use that guy over there on Terranus. That's the server, by the way. I told people Surmar, it's Terranus. I was wrong. Doesn't matter anyway. Everyone's so crossplay anyway, it doesn't matter. Anyway, the point is, he's cranking it. He's got his business going on. He's killing stuff and making names and all that. And
he's cranking it while you're jacking around men.
He's cranking it. I'm jacking it. And together, we're playing World of Warcraft, and it's been great.
Amazing. Get someone to spank it.
Yes, exactly.
Can't wait to down that man. It's going to be great when you pull him. That's going to be really... I can't wait to see that. Yeah.
And a rogue,
I hope he drops his
behind.
Pants for you, because that'd be really... You need those.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Garrett invoked the rogues do it from behind. Nice job.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Gotta get it. Well said. From behind.
Well said. Well, anyway, it's been a fun couple of weeks for us. We will be doing that stream later today, so if you guys are interested in watching that, just stick around to frogpants.tv at noon Mountain. That's 2 p.m. Pacific, or Eastern, rather. And we will play whatever we're going to do. And we're going to fill up teams.
I think we did normals. We did heroics. I think it's time for mythic, Scott.
A mythic. That's fine. I had a real hard time in, what's the name of this dungeon? I went with a random group. They were great, by the way. It's the most communication I've ever had with a rando. ever in a Dungeon Finder run, but I was tanking and we played, what is the, it's an Alliance raid dungeon, and it's Toll.
The one with the cannons?
Yes, the one with the cannons. Thank you.
Yeah, Toll Barad.
I want to say Barad. I keep wanting to say Barad, but obviously that's not it.
Yeah. I just did that one just now.
I believe it is the one I have not done yet.
That is a pain in the butt on Heroic if you don't really know the fight. There's some crazy stuff with that final boss.
Or Dagor.
Actually, there you go. Toll Dagor. The whole thing is great until you get to that final boss, and then it's just banging your head against the wall. And we ended up wiping, I don't know, 12 times or something. But it was so great playing with a group that was communicative and would, like, you know, nobody was getting pissed or rage quitting. They were saying, all right, well, let's see, we could try this, and then we try that and it didn't work. Okay, let's go again. And we just worked it out and made it happen, and it was awesome. I had a really good experience
with grown-ups.
I played with grown-ups. It was great. Or some very mature young people. I don't know how it worked, but
I finally ran the mother load for the first time yesterday, and I would like to say to the gaming audience as a whole, y'all are a bunch of whiners. It ain't that bad.
Do you think it's because we were all complaining so much that your expectations were lower on all that trash?
Probably.
And stuff?
Yeah. But also, I don't know, did anyone play Burning Crusade? Like, we had to take our time on trash.
Yeah.
Get on my level.
Yeah. I mean, I really like that encounter. I think the entire dungeon's awesome. It just felt super trashy. Just, it felt like every 2 feet was another goblin who wanted to eat me. And that's fine. Maybe it's because our expectations are shaped by previous expansions, or maybe it's because it feels like this round of dungeons was specifically tuned for mythic speedruns for the new competition stuff they're doing. I have a feeling that's maybe a big part of this. So
maybe it's also like it's week three and rating doesn't open up till next week. We still don't have access to raid gear. So like it's going to get easier.
Well, what do you say about the idea that maybe the trash is just not exciting trash? Like there's no cool mechanics in that particular encounter, for example.
Well, I'm sure someone will accuse me of just trying to win a point, but I did like the trash. I thought there was some cool stuff in there. I love the mines that pop out that you have to kite.
Oh, right. Those are cool. Those are right.
Having to interrupt the alchemist that turn you into goo was real fun. The bosses were great, I thought. I thought the Motherlode had some of the coolest bosses I've fought so far in these dungeons, and the only other ones I haven't done yet is King's Rest and Siege of Boralus, because apparently I'm locked out of Siege of Boralus because rep grinding, yay.
Oh, I didn't realize...
Is it behind honor?
I didn't know
was. Yeah, honor bound. Yeah. Oh man, this hasn't come up on the show, but I hate rep grind more than anything in this expansion. It's
the
all
thing
about
that,
rep grind.
Mm-hmm. It's this time of the expansion. I always want Blizzard to nerf humans because the human race tool gives them 10% bonus to rep, which is super, super, super overpowered at this time of the game. You know, there's people who've unlocked Dark Iron Dwarves already. They were doing that like within a 9 days or something ridiculous because they're getting 10% extra rep from every source. Darkmoon fares up this weekend, so then we all can get a bit of an extra buff by riding a merry-go-round. But still, it's like it just feels crazy that that's still in the game. And obviously, once you're exalted with everything, it's the worst racial because it does nothing. But I kind of feel like I want orcs to have one like Blood and Honor. And it's just like, there you go, you get 10% extra as well. Cool. Now, both factions have the same opportunity to do stuff. If you want to have an easy thing, you can still play on Horde and just race change over. Blizzard makes money. I don't know. I kind of feel like I need to level as humans. It just feels like inefficient.
Well, war mode gives you the 10% bump, but that means...
It stacks, though.
Yeah, that stacks. Yeah. So that means humans end up with 20%?
Well... I don't think it's... I think it's like 10%.
I don't think that's how percentages works. I think it's 10% of 10%.
Oh, 10% of
10%. Plus 10, so it'd be like 100. It'd be like 21% or something like that. I think it's more.
Oh, really?
I don't know, but we'll see. I don't know.
It's annoying.
Anyway,
that's
humans
annoying.
Got it going on. They're repping up super fast. It's just like, come on.
Yeah, but you trade that off for playing the ugliest race in the game. Like the humans
depends
are
what you're
ugly.
Into, Scott.
Well,
depends what you're into.
I'm not into ugly humans. Let's put it that way. That's not what I'm into.
Each to their own.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Not necessarily your thing. Yeah. I don't know. I'm of two minds, because one someone I'm friends with mentioned the other day. Yeah, but Gary, you loved attunements. Don't you like that there's some dungeons you can't just run into right away? And they're right to a certain degree, but I guess I would just rather have old school attunements where I had to run dungeons to unlock other dungeons rather than just
it's all down to world quests as well. It's like, do you want to trade over like 40 trade mats that are worth, you know, like 2,000 gold for 75 rep? You know, and that's what you're kind of down to at this point in the game. It's like, oh, you know, don't make me feel bad about playing the game. You know, I want to have fun. I want to feel like, hey, this was a worthwhile use of my time. This was good. That was fun. Anyway, I just like to moan as well. Moaning is one of my favorite things.
These are the nitpicks. Like, overall, I'm so in on this expansion. But there's lately, I've been noticing the little blemishes have been really sticking out to me.
Yeah, and also we're in this space where, you know, not that we're world firsters or anything, but we all hit 120. I have many, many, many friends, including some that I play with in the guild, some I raid with, who are still working on 114, 115. They're taking their time. Like, nobody's in a giant rush. And so they're not experiencing this yet. We're kind of at this, just about to have new content. Like, on the 4th, a bunch of new stuff drops. And so we're in this little cycle of, well, got to go get some rep, I guess. Let's do those world quests. Let's get these dungeons done. Like, I think we're just kind of in purgatory at the moment. And it's not a bad purgatory necessarily, but rep grind, I don't think, is anyone's favorite thing. My favorite post in the chat room right now is this one from Killmark, or Killamanock.
Kilmarnock, he's in the ITN chat all the time.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
I'm with him, by the way.
Okay, good. He says, I liked how BC did rep grinds. You could wear tabards and rep grind with a faction. You get a bonus to rep grinding with those factions.
You
I remember
are my
that.
Boy, yes.
Yeah,
I missed this so much. They did this in Lich King, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could do them in dungeons post then, I think, as well. But back then, it used to be you could do any content and you'd get rep.
Yeah.
You know, any stuff that awarded rep, you would build rep with your faction.
Yeah,
so you could choose, you know, you could kill a load of quest mobs that you needed to do for something and have it go towards Honor Bound or Seventh Legion if that's what you wanted to race up, because you want to roll an orc or a dark iron dwarf or something
right.
like that.
I do this.
Yeah. Like, I feel like I'm not running nearly as many dungeons as I would like to because I need to be working on my rep, and it's bumming me out a little bit.
Yeah. I get in and go, what do I want to do now? And if I'm run, and if it's my hunter, I'm like, well, it's going to be 35 minutes waiting for a queued dungeon anyway, so I'll go do world quests while that thing waits to pop. But then if I'm playing the demon hunter and I can get into these things within a second or less, just because I switch over to vengeance, then I'm tempted just to run dungeons with him. So I don't know, it's weird. The game's, you know, it's never been perfect in this regard when it comes to rep grinds.
I feel like rep is still a very antiquated system. In when you look at it, it hasn't really changed a huge amount since vanilla, since it was introduced. You know, you still rep up through the same bands. You get the same sort of rewards as you kind of clear stuff. You unlock some extra quests and content as you hit each different tier. But it's they tinkered with stuff in Mists. You know, you had the friendship reps, and those were a little bit more granular, and you had a bit more variance in what was going on, and you could go out in the world and find stuff and give them gifts, which would increase your rep. You know, it felt like there were more tools available to do those. Equally, when you have to then do it on alts, it's just like, come on, guys. You know, and even those people who have you know, kind of max their reps out with, you know, these honor bound or Seventh Legion, I think are still getting served world quests that are just rep rewards, or mission table that are just rep rewards. Mm-hmm. And you don't get them as a token that you can send to an alt or anything like that yet. It's just like, oh, well, you know, you rushed up. We haven't got any other stuff for you. So, you know, whoops.
Maybe it's just not.
I mean, that is kind of on a player base at a certain point. I mean, the amount of content that you chew through to get to that point where it is a problem for you, it is a lot. Like,
yeah, but at the same time, it wouldn't be hard if you made it a binal account. That's all you need to do, and then you can give it to an alt.
Oh,
and then already
yeah.
it's like, okay, I still feel like I can do the, I can enjoy the content, do stuff. I'm not sat with nothing to do. It's just that now I'm helping gearing up my other characters and helping them with this.
Yeah,
because really, you want to get honored because you get your cloaks, and then you want to push beyond that because you can get some best in slot gear until the raid comes out, and just to get ready for mythics and the raid, you know, you do need to rep up. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, yeah, I feel like the rep stuff is still a clunky bit of Warcraft.
I feel like the way that they fix this for me is that rep grinds and the current rep gathering in the game doesn't have a very satisfying bling to it. And by that, I mean, when you level up, you get a big flashy light, a big sound effect, and it's always an exciting moment. When you do other sort of accomplishments or achievements in the game, you get something. Yeah, when you've done something for a faction, you get a little green fart, and maybe you've assigned your bar to now be a rep bar that you're paying attention to, but it doesn't have the same zing to it as leveling up, say, your Heart of Azeroth. Like, that's got a great sounding thing.
I don't like Azerite gear, though. I feel like Azerite gear, the pinnacle of it is 5 item levels. Ha! You know, it's like, I feel like it's such a lackluster thing when you finally ding your heart and it's like, oh, finally, now I can unlock 5 item levels. You know, it's just so dull. It's like, you know, like the effects before. I was looking, Simon's at 337 item level and he's got the engineering goggles and they're crazy. Like the first effect is like it buffs basically movement speed, attack speed, you know, damage, health, all of these things. I'm like, holy crap, that's amazing. And it's, you know, it's got 3 different tiers. And then the 4th tier is still 5 item levels. But you've still got to push up. Your Heart of Azeroth has to be like 28 or something ridiculous. And you're thinking like, are you really going to grind away at the game to get 5 item levels? Mm-hmm. Like, why did they not just do it like, oh, you've unlocked the other 2 cool abilities. Now, bing, 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 push, it's 5 item levels bigger. You know, it just felt like someone ran out of ideas. Mm-hmm. Or like, I don't know. I think it's one of the worst bits of design. In terms of feeling good about unlocking an item.
It's a little bit 2 steps forward with Legion, 1 step back a little bit on that. The weapons, the artifact weapons had a lot of other cool things going on, but the main thing it had going was a progression that felt super progressive. Like you felt like you were really accomplishing something when you would unlock tiers and get enough artifact power to do things on your weapons. This thing feels a little bit more like just, all right, well, I got some stuff. What, can I do anything? Well, my shoulders I'm still wearing. They now have a new ability that makes me occasionally drop a water thing that I can walk into and increase my agility for a minute.
Someone's been playing a Demon Hunter.
Yeah.
But I like the active abilities. I like it feels like they're as dynamic or more so than legendaries were in terms of it makes me play differently. It's like, oh, hang on. This changes my Avenging Wrath to also bust my haste. So actually, I should be using this like more. I mean, I should use it all the time anyway, but now I should definitely use it because this is super strong and active, you know, and it kind of changes the way you play. But just the 5 item levels is just so meh. Like, it should be like an ult. It should be like the middle one should be like the old legendary effect where it's like, oh, you've got, you know, the Ashbringer. Well, that middle one gives you the Wake of Ashes, the ultimate cool thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it just needed a little bit more wow, and then it also gives you 5 item levels more. Yeah. It's just so dull.
Right. It's nice to have those item levels, because suddenly you're...
Yeah, exactly. I'm all for that. And equally, when you rep up with Champions of Azeroth, you get 15 item levels every time you go from Friendly to Honored to Revered to Exalted. And so that's really good as well, repping up with Magni and going back to Silithus, you know, getting an extra 15 item levels on your neck piece is really, really strong. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. And that's behind rep. I'm okay with that. Mm. But then equally now on all my alts, I have to rep up to Exalted with Champions of Azeroth. Mm. You know, it's not like account wide. It's not like, oh, I've played that. It's good. Now on my alts, when they ding, I can get the 60 item levels extra that I'm going to need. You know, they've got the catch up mechanic with the amount of artifact power it takes to level up. Reduces. Mm-hmm. So if I start leveling a character 6 months from now, I can kind of get up to speed almost as quickly, but I'm always going to be 60 item levels behind someone who's exalted, who's just been playing for longer. So that's like that's a real hurdle they're going to have to find a way to get around, because that will make a big difference.
Yeah, I can tell you this, after doing 2 complete run-throughs of the Horde side campaign with 2 characters and dinging 120, I do not think I can do a 3rd. I can't do it. Like, I loved it. I loved it again, in a lot of ways, I really enjoyed big chunks of it. But like every expansion, you might get one, one additional main out of me, or one additional 120 or max level out of me. But I don't think I can do that again. I'm worn out on that story. I'm worn out on those characters. I'm worn out on certain quests. Like if I go see, if I have to go and do a.
Oh, Bob Sandy, see you coming back to me, Scott. What's this, your fourth ult? You'll be dying too much. You know, there's certain characters are really fun. Obviously, the first time through was magical, and there's a great story progression, and there is some really dynamic stuff going on. It's tricky because it does feel like half as much because it's just the Horde stuff.
Yeah.
And if you play the Alliance stuff, it's like, wow, this is completely different. This is all really interesting. And even when I go over to Kul Tiras, I don't do those quests. I do different quests and I interact in different places. Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
But oh, I love that they did that. Yeah.
Doing it more than once feels more arduous for whatever reason. Maybe it's because it's, you know, progresses so quickly in story that it feels like, oh no, I want to just get to that bit, or I don't know. There's something about it that doesn't feel as replayable as previous ones have.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I felt this way in Legion one after I got the second one to the max. I went, okay, I'm good. Like, I just couldn't do another. I can't do a third. It's always that way with me. Doesn't mean I didn't enjoy it. And there's a lot of people in the chat room going, guys, we're only 3 weeks in. Relax. There's lots of rad stuff coming. No, I know. And this isn't, hey, let's be critical of the game so far, Instance Edition. We're just, you know, you got to talk about where you're at. And that's kind of where we're at. The most fun I'm having in the game right now is working toward better dungeon play so I can run with my friends. Like, that's where I'm having the most fun right now. And I think that's what we're supposed to be doing. Like, that should be where the fun is. And I've been having fun with randos. I've been having fun with friends. The stream with Kyle and friends has been great. And Garrett, rather, I keep doing it. I swap you guys out. I swap you guys out constantly. Your names are interchangeable.
Again, I just take it as a compliment. Take it as a compliment. You're comparing me to my internet wife. I appreciate it.
Oh, man. Does he know you refer to him as your internet wife? Is he aware
of this? The internet refers to him as my internet wife, and I just accept it.
Okay.
He's a very good friend. I love my Kyle.
Very nice.
But yeah, no, I mean, I'm with both of you. Like, I feel like I kind of started this and it went deeper than I intended it to. But I don't think any of the points brought up are wrong necessarily. And the chat room is right. Hi, Civ. 3 weeks is not that long into the expansion. But we also haven't heard anything about alleviating these concerns about the rep grind. We know artifact power is going to get easier to get, but do we know that rep is going to get easier to get? Because if it doesn't, this is an extremely alt unfriendly expansion, and Legion was too, so to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just a little worried that way.
With your artifact weapon in Legion, you didn't need to rep up with anyone to get it to where it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now with our artifact necklace, we do. So they need to address it in some way, and I think, you know, the reason they don't make rep account wide is they don't want people to have to play multiple characters. So they don't want, oh, this guy unlocked Exalted in a day because he played through the Suramar quest line 12 times on one server. And, you know, all the rep that we gave for that, you know, now we've got to balance it around that. Because, oh, otherwise, if we give too much rep, you're just going to go on the other character and get another 1,000 rep for completing this quest. Mm. So they just need to find a way that kind of means that you don't have that, like rep doesn't count over until you hit a certain threshold or something. But I'd like it, like, if you hit Exalted on a character, your other characters are Exalted. Mm. That's all I want.
Yeah,
you know, it's not that if I hit Revered I can then carry on leveling up on another one. No, if I do the journey, I don't want to have to do the journey again.
Yeah, I feel like account wide would be the way to do it. I'm with you on that. Make that one of those things in the game that they, you know, they get around to doing a lot of stuff account-wide. Sometimes it takes a while. That would be a great one. Like, that would really make me happy. Because what it would mean is I like it when the game's alt-friendly. And that would mean it would be like, well, I'm in the mood for my hunter today. So I could go play my hunter any way I want to. The rep grind I did yesterday counted. And I don't have to think about it. And I can go do more rep grind with him. And when I log back into my other guy, that stuff carries over. Like, I think that is the way to do it. And they didn't bring it up at all. The Ian Hazzikostas interview they did with Lore not too many days ago. That was a week ago, whatever it was. None of that came up. They talked about a lot of other stuff, world boss scaling, all that, which, by the way, all the controversy about world boss scaling turned out to be kind of a whiff, because they say that, at least they're saying, it has never, hasn't changed since Legion. It's always been the same since 7.1 or something. And everybody now acts like it's way out of whack. And they're saying, no, it hasn't budged. Like, we haven't done anything to it.
There's a couple of isolated mobs and incidences where it was wrong, and they've addressed those. And equally, the way, I don't think it's like a linear thing. I think there's kind of almost steps. And so I think there are a few bits whereby you might be like 319 and it doesn't get kind of easier until you're 321 or something like that. Like, as you push through certain thresholds with item level, sometimes it feels a bit more difficult. The only thing that's changing is mob health, not mob damage. So you shouldn't be getting killed quicker. It just might take you a bit longer to kill something if your DPS isn't increasing in line with your item level. Mm. But, you know, I don't think that's necessarily a real thing.
Penny in the chat makes a good point. Flying is a rep grind and it's account wide. Yeah.
Yeah.
More of that, please.
And that's what Pathfinder is, a real, like that. That is a real journey to get your Pathfinder achievement to unlock flying. You know, I understand they're like, well, boom, that's an achievement, and thusly it's account wide. Mm. And that's the sort of thing, is like, once you get achieve, you know, chuck it around.
Right. Well, this is all well and good, but this is just the pre-show, guys. Not really. I mean, it's still show. It's still show for sure. But there's much more. So Ashara, the cinematic, we should at least talk about it real quick. It is
amazing.
It's pretty awesome. The Fish of N'Zoth is great.
Aaron DePaul, that's Reinhardt is N'Zoth.
Oh, that's what I heard. Yeah. What's his name? Darren DePaul.
Yeah.
Is the voice of N'Zoth, and does a killer job.
How can that man be one of the most endearing characters in the history of Blizzard cinematics, and also the god of death?
Yeah, right? Absolutely. No, he is
great. He's so good.
I just love that he's getting used in these other ways, because guy's obviously very
talented.
It's
really exciting. So that's the first official kind of Warcraft canon of him outside of the Hearthstone card. Mm. So we've never seen him in game. Mm. He is, well, there you go. You got a spooked building there. Look how scared that building is.
I know, it's terrified.
It knows there's a big tsunami coming in.
Hey, actually, Mr. Loreman, can you clear up a couple things for me on the timeline here?
Yeah, sure. So this is basically happening. So Queen Ashara made a deal with Sargeras to be his consort, and to usher in the Burning Legion to Azeroth through the Well of Eternity. Malfurion, Tyrande, and Illidan thwarted her plans and blew up the Well of Eternity, causing the sundering, so the separation and explosion of the original continent into Kalimdor and the Eastern Kingdoms, and then the island masses that we're currently playing on. Mm-hmm. What we see at the start is the resulting tidal wave from the Well of Eternity exploding, and Queen Ashara basically trying to protect what remains of her kingdom. She's not so much saving her people as preserving her queendom. You know, she is the queen, and everything about her is about, you know, being this mighty, powerful, worshipped and adored figure.
Right, she can't do that if everyone's dead.
Exactly. So she's here at the start, and then she's got the whispering saying, like, let go. And that's N'Zoth, or her, but N'Zoth probably saying, like, you know, it's time for you to just let this go, because I need you now. And so this is an opportunity where she tried to seduce and use Sargeras as a way to further her being the ultimate queen. And now she finds that she's in a position where she can potentially do that now with N'Zoth. Mm. And N'Zoth is crazy. Like, we see the Black Empire, and this is actually, I think, Nyalotha. Like, we see the city, when it's illuminated, seems to be not a vision, but actually the seafloor. Mm. So we see actual obelisks and stuff. Nyalotha, the sunken city, where N'Zoth is, in theory, contained, is in this piece. And hopefully we get to go there. Like, I hope it's kind of, you know.
Oh boy, doesn't it seem like this is going to be raised for some reason and be an island that pops up on the map?
Exactly. It's the sort of thing that would be stupid from a strategic point of view, because the Naga, they're fine down there. They don't need to raise it up. We would really struggle to assault N'Zoth, you know, But maybe if we can find a way to raise it up, then yeah, we can go and take him out. But do we really want to bring N'Zoth up? All of this comes back to the whispers of Il'Gonoth, as always. We start looking at the old gods and the Black Empire being ushered back into Azeroth. This is potentially Ragnarok. This is the end times for us. This is where it all goes wrong, and we are on the back foot, and we get pushed back to the brink. The old gods keep talking about, or their servants keep talking about the cycle, and the circle is nearly come to a close. And that's very Ragnarok, is the cycle of rebirth and death. And so we'll have to see kind of what happens. But N'Zoth, man, what a creepy guy. God of death, in theory, he calls himself. Bwan Samdi talks about his boss will be angry when you give him Vol'jin's ashes and Vol'jin's spirit's not there. So all of a sudden, the lower of death reports into someone. The Hela, she's apparently back or, reforming. And so we know she's died twice, and her third death ushers in our coming, potentially now refers to Hela. And so potentially we're going to kill her again. I don't know. We'll see. You never know. It could mean anyone with all these things. Mm-hmm. But we'll have to see kind of what comes of it. Yeah. But it's exciting to see this Warbringers cinematic. If you look at all the Warbringers, they're all female characters, mm-hmm. and all of them are utter badasses.
Yeah.
And it's really refreshing to see that across the Blizzard franchise, to have such strong, scary, like Queen Ashara here, like she's literally bargaining with a god.
Mm-hmm.
She's there, she's drowning, all her people are dead, she's lost her kingdom, and he's like, serve me, and she's like, if you have been watching me, you know that actually I want to be the queen, so I'll do it if you make me queen, but otherwise I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, and she realizes he needs her as much as she needs him, and she plays that. And
the laugh's on her in the end.
Tip of the hat.
I mean, because she ends up kind of putting him in his place and saying, it's me who'll be making the decisions here. And then he's like, fine, I'll make you into a hideous freaking fish lady. And you're going to have to just be this like wicked, tainted, nasty thing for the rest of eternity.
Each to their own, Scott. I'm not going to turn her away. Equally, 10,000 years ago this happened. 10,000 years.
Yeah.
So if I said to you, Scott, I'm going to give you ultimate infinite power if you do this thing for me, and you said, yeah, I'm waiting 10,000 years. When are you going to do this, Scott? Like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Why have you not done it yet?
Yeah.
So,
right. It's a long time
she's
to
biding
wait.
Her time.
Yeah. That was the whole time. Illidan was in prison that whole time, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got imprisoned after this sort of thing because he dabbled in things he shouldn't have to protect.
Yeah.
But,
Meanwhile, Tyrande.
We're all on board with Fish Kerrigan.
Yeah. It is Fish Kerrigan. Nice job.
Her design is Fish Kerrigan.
No, you're right. It is Fish Kerrigan, dude. Oh my gosh, that's also today's title. I am using the term Fish Kerrigan.
So the thing is when you look at all of the sort of Lovecraft influences in Warcraft, the biggest one is, Azeroth, basically. Azeroth is like Nur-Azeroth, or whatever, which is like the big bad in the Lovecraftian universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so potentially the battle for Azeroth results in an evil Azeroth that we got to put down, or our far distant future. Who knows? I'm just excited to see there's progression across all of this. And look how big on the screen there. Look how big that eye is.
Oh, it's awesome.
Like, if N'Zoth is that big in game, that'd be so good.
Right?
That'd be
I
so
hope
cool.
They find a way to actually make that work. They did such a good job with Deathwing at the end of Kata.
Yeah.
I want
a full size, exactly. Like, could you imagine just this big Cthulhu horror of a monster? Oh,
yeah.
Yes, please.
It's cool, but also I feel like they've been dabbling a little bit with scale. The sword that currently pierces the world is genuinely massive and breathtaking when you see it for the first time. And when you have to go down to Silithus for anything, you just see this thing and you're like, my gosh, it was like way off in the distance. And now I'm getting closer and it's not getting any smaller. Like, this thing is a monster. Mm. I feel like they've been playing around with stuff like that to the point that they could. You know, I could see an entire raid that is the entire raid's geography is the beast, if that makes sense. You start, you know, kind of God of War-like at some small part of it, and you're working your way to the eye or something, but it is literally the land. It's the dungeon. It's the halls. Yeah. It's the space.
The way
that
it was described to me years and years and years and years and years ago is the Titans couldn't defeat the old gods because they were just, you know, like they tried to with Yasaraj, and they plucked him out and they nearly killed Azeroth doing it. Basically, big clunky fingers. They just can't do it. Mm-hmm. Whereas we're like nanobots, and we can actually go in like surgical precision and mess them up without necessarily messing up as much of Azeroth. And so potentially we are Azeroth's solution to defeating the old gods on her. You know, we've been empowered by her over the years through her lifeblood of the Well of Eternity and beyond, now with Azerite. So I could see that. I think that would be really cool if we kind of go in and start messing them up. But I feel like the expansion after this is the Black Empire. Mm. I feel like we're going to be fighting off against all of the old gods.
Mm. Oh, that'd be so rad.
That's what's going to happen. You're going to have C'Thun's going to be back. Yogg-Saron's back. Maybe Yasaraj reforms in some way. We're fighting Gahoon, which is like a giant bloodwormy sphincter thing made out of an old god kind of experiment by the Titans.
Yeah.
So he's not a real old god. He's like a GM old god, like a genetically modified one.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but it could be really cool to have a really dark Lovecraftian horror expansion that kind of pushes us to our limits and we fight back again.
Yeah. I
just ended up out at the Shrine of Storms on my Horty, like on the actual map, not in the dungeon today for the first time, just clearing out some quests. And it's great. There's just everything inflicts madness on you. Everything's creepy. There's tentacle statues everywhere.
Yeah. No, they're into it. That stuff gives me, I mean, I was already plenty excited for the arc of this particular expansion, because I feel like that's one thing they've gotten so right since Legion. Legion had this really, really great pace of, here's what you think the story is. Now here's what it is. Oh my gosh, now here's what it is. Like, I loved that. And it got personal and big at the same time. It was personal with shit Wizard Khadgar and everybody down on the ground. And it was
Gul'dan. You got to remember, like, we messed up Gul'dan.
Yeah.
And if you think about in this sort of lieutenant position, seems like Ashara is taking on the Gul'dan position. So maybe 8182 will be Ashara, and then 83 Nazoth, you know, in, you know, Nyalotha, you know, taking the fight to him. And then maybe if we do defeat him, we inadvertently usher in the Black Empire, or maybe something far worse.
What if we start the Nazoth raid? The attunement here, Garrett, is that you have to go fish for the little fish with the red eyes.
Oh,
yes,
maybe.
Yes, I'm in. Done. You've sold me.
He says, doesn't he?
I hope that everything else in the game fades away and you just hear flapping.
Yeah. Flappy boy. And that's the thing. And then you get Nazoth's voice saying, "I am a cod." And you're like, oh, I get it.
He's an old cod. Yeah.
He's an old cod.
One of the old cods. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then we go and play a COD of War boss fight, and it'll be a great time.
Oh, my gosh. Amazing. These are all good titles today. So hold on. Old cod. And what was the one? Wait, what did you say earlier,
we're
Garrett?
Out. We'll have them over there.
Garrett, what was the one you said that I said I was going to make this title? It was really good.
Fish Kerrigan.
Fish Kerrigan.
I liked your progressive progression. That was good, too.
Progressive progression is pretty good. Everyone likes that. All right, what else is going on? Dark Iron Dwarves and Magar Orcs are Magar. How do you say it? Maghar.
Magar.
They're ready to go if you have the rep.
if you're an alliance human, maybe.
Yeah. So Dark Iron Dwarves look amazing. The Magar Orcs look like orcs. I'm less excited about them because they just aren't that different. I mean,
I've always wanted a brown orc. I'm stoked. So
apparently the scenario in which you recruit them for both is really fun. So apparently just the act of unlocking them and enlisting them is really cool.
Yeah.
And obviously after this we get Kul'Tirans and Zandalar trolls in 8-1, I guess.
Yeah.
So that'd be fun.
Those are the ones I really want.
I still think it's kind of funky that if I want Nightborne or any of the stuff pre-expansion, and let's say you're back to the game and you haven't played since Mists or something, you got to go back and do all this stuff in Legion. Like, it's weird.
I haven't unlocked Void Elves still, because that means I have to level up my Alliance rep with the 7-3 factions. You know, I got like an Alliance Warlock who I'm leveling to 120, but I don't want to go back and but I'd like to unlock them, but not to the point where I want to spend loads of time on Argus again. It's just, but I assume in the fullness of time they'll just say, hey, you can now play them anyway.
I would hope so, because it's a major portion. It's a major part of this expansion. This is the expansion, you know, every other basically, where it's like new class, next expansion, race stuff, next expansion, new class, and so on. So this is a bunch of new races, and to not let you get them as readily as I think you should be able to. I understand unlocking them, there's a process to that, but it feels like that should be accomplished in the new game, not the old game, for those characters.
100%.
Because they weren't really...
There should be other stuff you could do.
Yeah, and they weren't really a feature of that expansion. I mean, they were in terms of they existed, and Suramar was a thing, and High Mountain Torn were a thing, and I get it, but they weren't unlockable at the beginning, middle. It was just at the very end, they're like, okay, yeah, these are now a thing you can do, and you can get them early. But it was basically like a preview.
But with both of them, I didn't have to go back and farm them. It was just like, oh, I've been playing, so I had them. And had I been playing Alliance, I probably would have had the rep, it'd be fine. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, with all these things, it feels like a little bit awkward for the sake of it.
Yeah. So,
I'm in the camp of, if it means more playable races, I am all for it, but I wouldn't mind if they still would just unlock a couple of them. Like, I feel like Kul'Tarans and Zandalari Trolls should have just been unlocked. Like, day one, new expansion, enjoy the two new races. Exactly. Mm. But all of the other ones that are just kind of minor tweaks on models we already have, yeah, sure. Make me jump through some rep hoops for that. I'm all for it.
Sure.
I want them to put Paladins on the Zandalari Trolls, because there are kind of some sort of lower that you could make it work with. And then also I could finally have my Paladin joke work, which is, why do troll Paladins always smile?
Mm.
Because they be filled with delight, mon. You know, and that's, you know, that's a solid joke. And it's a sort of thing where people are like, oh, you can't have troll Paladins. It's like, well, you know, can Blizzard just help make that work?
There's a whole
the troll
lot
druids
of...
And the Kul'Tiran druids look insane. The forms they have are crazy.
Yeah, they're so cool.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And also, please, any other race for Demon Hunters on the Horde, please. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, Garrett and I were talking about this the other day. Like, all they need to do.
Nightborne.
Just give us Nightborne option and let me go pay you. I'll pay you. Hey, Blizzard, want $25 for no reason? Here it is. I will pay you right now for a race change to a Nightborne from these freaking Blood Elves. I'll do it right now.
What's the dance, the slash dance on Nightborne? Have you done it?
No, I don't know what it is.
I'm pretty sure it's the Night Elf dance.
Nightborne dance. Let's look it up here, because you may be right. Here it is. Nightborne dance. Let me play the male one. Okay, here we go. Oh, it's the Michael Jackson thing. Yeah, it's the same.
Yeah. So it makes no sense. Like, you know, if it's just a night elf, if it is just straight up a night elf.
Yeah.
Let it be a demon hunter. Yeah. You got noticed.
Yeah, it's really
and
dumb.
Sorry, we haven't done the animations. You have. Yeah. You're now just being pedantic.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
You've got all the flips and all the wing glidey things.
Yeah,
there's so many ways to write this into the lore. Just do it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just do it. It's not hard.
Kul'Tiran, in his occupation of Suramar, managed to infuse the fell deep into the hearts of... I don't care. Or like Chromie comes along. Oh, do you want to go back and be a demon hunter? You know.
There's got to be more demon hunters, right? Illidan's gone. You got to keep it going. Start a new demon hunter temple like you got to start a new Jedi temple in Star Wars. Go do it.
Exactly. Right.
Equally, why are the demon hunters fighting in a faction conflict? What's happened where they've just killed, like, they've defeated the Legion, and now they're like, you know what? Yeah, I'm in. I'm going to start messing up these other guys. They don't care about that.
Yeah.
They sacrificed everything.
I have a comic that's just waiting to be made, and I just haven't had the time to want to get detailed about it, because it kind of needs to be detailed. But my idea is, and I thought about this through the entire leveling process, have him standing next to one of the prominent troll leaders or something. Or you could do it on the Alliance side and basically just lean over and say, there will be demons to hunt, right? Like,
yeah, right.
Like they're in the wrong
kind
job.
Of my thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are there any demons? Right. I mean, I can hunt, but that's kind of the hunter thing. I'm more laser focused on the demon right. kind of side of things.
Right. It's one of the first.
The blood trolls are coming. Are they demon trolls? No. Well, they're blood magic, which is kind of demon-y.
Yeah, demon-ish.
I want you to do a range of comics, just a World of Peacecraft.
Okay.
And just recreate scenarios, but with everyone just being nice to them.
Okay, I'm in.
Anduin up against Sylvanas in the throne room after the siege of Lordaeron. Just being nice to each other.
Yeah.
Maybe kissing.
Why not? Why not? Let's finally bring these two factions together.
Just say, look, I'm really sorry about the whole chemical warfare thing just then. Oh, don't be silly. I understand. You're just trying to protect your city. It's kind of our city. Yeah. Actually, thinking about it, it's actually more your city than ours because all the people who lived there died here and now they're alive. But anyway, okay, no, you keep it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Well, here's the deal. If you back to the Dark Irons and the new orcs, if you wanted to get them, here's what you got to do. Level 120, duh. You got to get exalted with the key sub-faction from your sides of the war campaign for the Alliance. That's 7th Legion. For Horde, it's the Honor Bound. And apparently the
war fronts will make this a lot easier.
Oh.
So when war fronts come out, we're going to get a shed load of rep with Honor Bound or 7th Legion.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's great.
So, like, when we're doing Stormguard, I don't know if you say it, Stormguard, we'll get a load of red.
Okay.
In theory.
Sweet.
Well, let's jump to that, because that's next week. Normal and Heroic Old Deer raid happens. That's next week. Battle for Azeroth PvP Season 1. And by the way, that's just normal, non-LFR version of that raid.
Yeah.
Battle for Azeroth PvP Season 1 starts. Battle for Azeroth Mythic Plus Season 1 starts for dungeons. World bosses happen next week. See how much fun we have with people talking about scaling then. And then War Fronts will likely launch as well, though it hasn't been directly stated as a September 4th thing. But all signs point to War Fronts being next week.
I think they're meant to be. And I think equally, as far as I'm aware, it starts off in control by the Alliance.
Mm.
And so we as Horde get to assault.
Why is that? Why is the Alliance?
Because it needs to be one faction or the other. Okay. And so... Stromgard currently, I think, is Alliance.
Because they had to give the Alliance a chance to actually hold it, because they never will after this.
Boom. I think it cycles, but yeah.
Nice.
It's basically in the Mage Tower, so we're just going to be fighting over the Mage Tower.
You know what would be cool is if they did it based on the last Winter Grasp.
Oh, hang on. Apparently, other way around. Apparently, Horde hold it.
Oh, Horde hold it. Okay.
Oh, damn.
Either way, it would be cool if they based that decision as to which faction it would be on who held Wintergrasp last, and then give it to the other guys.
Oh, that'd be fun. Everyone starts going back.
Back and forth. You can still go out and fight in Wintergrasp.
Are people doing that? People play out there?
I don't think so. Oh. But it's still there.
That'd be crazy.
You could go and you could win Wintergrasp now, Scott. You could fly in there solo, and you would take it all down.
All right. Can I get the bosses? I get the bosses and everything after that and go and get some sweet gear.
Exactly. You go in, try and get some sweet transmog.
Yeah.
It's a really quick, easy instance, and you can get the achieve where you kill them all together.
Yeah.
I've done that before.
Have you done that?
Really hard back in the day, but now it's easy because you just tag them, get them all together, and then press your AoE button like 3 times and they die.
And they're dead.
So, yeah.
Oh, I may have to do that. I went.
You're like, I want achievement. I'm going to do achieve.
I did a lot of this pregame right before the launch of BFA. I went out and just spent a ton of time getting old stuff. I soloed a bunch of raids, including Firelands, where I finally got the set I had not ever had. I think I talked about this on the show, but I got this set of fire gear for my mage, and then somebody in the chat room or somewhere said, you can buy those from those dudes in Orgrimmar.
I don't know if you can, though. I think you can possibly buy a similar
different colors.
Exactly, So it's not the same. You achieved something, Scott. Yeah. You did something good.
I earned it.
Well, it
depends on this. There's certain sets that are locked down. There's certain sets that look exactly the same, and you cannot tell the difference.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. There's also some stuff outside of TOC out in
Surface.
No,
we had to.
What am I trying to say? Where did we used to run around on the stupid jousting?
TOC.
They have. There's vendors out there as well that sell some stuff.
Argent Tournament.
Yeah, Argent Tournament. Now the weird bit is, I thought, oh, I'll go do that, and I wasn't really paying attention of what I already had. I'd forgotten how much I ran TOC back in the day. Like that, we ran the hell out of that as a raid team.
I had so much fun with that raid.
It was great. It was great. And I had the entire set and just didn't know it, so I totally wasted my time. But
yeah,
it's good to see a new Barak in his native town. You know.
Yeah, I tried gliding. I'm a demon hunter, and there's a big old invisible wall. You can't get too far when you fall down that pit.
Oh man. Yeah, you know what? That is actually fun. Being in old world places. And finding stuff that did not foresee demon hunters as an option. Do you know what I mean? Like the game was obviously all that geometry and stuff was made long before demon hunters were a thing. And now with sort of this instant glide mechanic, you can find all kinds of places with walls you would have never reached with any other character. Because like even a
Flowfall mage would have.
Well, a Featherfall, you don't have as much control over where you're going. So you can't really steer into the skid or anything. You kind of, if you jump off sideways, you're going to float that way the whole way until you land.
Keeps the momentum or the direction that you had when you first
started.
Pretty
sure. Yeah, exactly. It's like Death Knights with their water walking. You used to be able to kill people on the pool at the bottom, couldn't you?
Yeah, something like that.
Thing back in the day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did that once on accident.
Oh, yeah. On accident, was it?
I see. No, yeah. It really was because right. I also killed myself.
I believe you.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's see. How about this? Oh, this is exciting. So the World of Warcraft Diary Kickstarter is live. This is from John Statz.
Yes.
He was the game's first 3D level designer. My only real complaint about this project is one that Garrett probably already can predict what I'm going to say here because we're both from a sort of graphic design background.
You just don't like the logo?
Oh, that logo is just
rough.
It does
look very, PowerPoint.
It is. Oh, my God. This looks like... It's going to be on an AOL disc that shows up in my mail.
Yes. And terrible. Terpster, you say a PowerPoint. I actually think it might literally be a PowerPoint in that video.
It may be word art.
Yeah. And somebody made that World of Warcraft logo diary
thing. It
might
have like the Bean Men. You remember the Bean Men from word art?
I do remember that.
Stuff.
Oh my God. Hey, John Statz, I see you've raised $222,000. Would you like to take 500 of that and throw it at a graphic designer? I might know somebody.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know a guy. $222,850. He originally was only looking for 10, far surpassed the goal so far. Still has 25 days to go. So I expect that to grow.
Yeah, and it's with Blizzard's blessing. What I don't know with these things is, did Blizzard have a cut? And I guess kind of not. Because otherwise they'd want it to be of a certain quality.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they've literally just said, sure, you can do that. And it's really, really, really weird when you look at the old guard of Blizzard developers and see now how few of them still work there. And it's quite jarring that this is the first one of its kind. And this is one person's kind of collected, hey, here's some of the things, I drew this on a napkin. This is Stormwind. Or like, you know, I just want to see something from Blizzard that collates all of those. Mm. You know, I want Metzen's words on it. I want Pardo's words on it.
Right.
I want Alan Adams' words on it. You know, I think that there's so many key players. US Gamer did a really, really interesting piece where they interviewed as many as they could. You know, Greg Street, Pardo. And then obviously Ian and the current people there as well on the history of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really cool article. It takes a while to read through, but it's like, cool, I want that and this and then all the other stuff I don't know about all into one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I my favorite thing, I was chatting to Ben Brode a while ago and he basically told me about taunt minions in Hearthstone were a complete accident. Like they were only meant to have taunt one turn. It was like Magic the Gathering. You just had it and then the next turn... it was gone, but it was bugged. And so they were playing it and then they're like, oh, this is way better. And that's why we have taunt minions the way we do. Mm. Like, it's just interesting to hear like, oh, so that's how you did it. In fact, the whole thing span out of, they were making a digital version of the WoW TCG. And then Jason Chase, who hadn't played the game, was kind of like, I don't like how totems work. It's just stupid. Why are we doing it like that? We should do it like this, where you just have a random one, you click a button, you just get one. And so then they did it and they were like, oh yeah, this is way better. And they were like, oh, hang on. So are we going to have in the digital version, just one rule be different from the rest of the card game? And they were like, oh, that's stupid. And they're like, but this is better than that. And they were like, oh, okay. So then they went back and revisited the entire rule set of the game with the view of, hang on, should we just make a World of Warcraft digital card game that is good and make it for digital and not just a digital version of a physical product? And that's where the whole game got born from. And it's just really interesting when you talk to these people who were there at the beginning and the genesis of these things that we just now accept as just facts and things and, oh, there's this genius vision. No, it wasn't genius vision. Really, there was you know, kind of key players who were very analytical in their thinking when they confronted stuff. But Blizzard is an iterative developer. You know, they set out with a goal to do something, and along the way, they end up going somewhere else, and then just, you know, brilliant people make brilliant stuff. So I'm very excited to read through this book, but I equally want Blizzard to do one, because that would be better in some ways. Maybe this book will, you know, shit on Mike Morhaime and say, ah, Mike was such a dick, you know, and then it's like, oh, fuck, I never knew. And the Blizzard one wouldn't do that. But I don't know, I want to have them come in and collate everything and give the definitive story.
Yeah.
Because that is interesting. And, yeah, you know, coming up on 15 years after launch and then, you know, kind of near 20 years of development, there's a lot of stories to be told.
I bet there's a billion stories. This thing claims it has a bunch of dirt, not dirt, but conversation about canceled internal projects, which is very interesting to me. So I don't know how much of that he gets into or how much he can talk about. And maybe that's more of a reference to canceled plans for WoW features and not necessarily big game things, but yeah, like,
I mean, I doubt there would be anything that isn't already public.
Probably,
yeah, it might be like Lord of the Clans and saying like, hey, yeah, we outsourced a load of animation to some Russian guys, it was a bit crap, we shelved it, you know, you can play a version on torrent sites if you look for it.
Yeah.
You know, and then, oh yeah, StarCraft Ghost wasn't very good. You know, we made a cool CG intro though, so you can check that out. Yeah, you know, I doubt that he would be legally allowed to talk about stuff that isn't already in the public domain.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking as well. But anyway,
I've played a lot of cancelled game projects from big studios, and there's always a reason why they're cancelled.
Right.
They're all terrible. like, literally, if you play any of them, you quickly understand, okay, yeah.
But do you think they're terrible? Terrible and... by someone else's standards or Blizzard standards is different, right?
I think Blizzard, yeah, they do have high standards. But if you look at Titan and you look at Overwatch, they obviously took a view that Overwatch was ready to go out and then broke all sales records and is a completely new genre-defining piece of entertainment across so many different, you know, mediums. And what they had with Titan reportedly was system upon system upon system upon system of confusing mesh. I think Pardo's view was, it, you know, WoW, if you take any bit of WoW out of it, it's not fun, but together it is fun. And so what we need to do is put more systems in there. And it just made for a very confused, you know, jumbled piece of design where a lot of people were repeating other people's work and doing it differently, and it was just messy. And, you know, people played it internally and they had fun with the game, but the best part of that game was the Overwatchy bit of it. You know, yeah, the going out as a hero, shooting people.
Yeah. So
they were like, okay, let's pivot on that. Let's make that good.
Yeah.
And that's what Blizzard does spectacularly, is they explore, they find fun, and then they laser down, and then they analyze the fun and make more of the fun.
Yeah. What I would like is a book just on Titan development. That would be really interesting to me, because I know a few insider things that are super intriguing, and I just would love to know a tell all. And Blizzard doesn't do tell alls, so probably never see this, but, you know, kind of on the ground, who said what and when did it look like things were going to go great? When did things start to fall apart? You know, what were those fights in those meeting rooms about? Like,
yeah,
that's fascinating to me, that kind of stuff in game development. So maybe one day we'll get one of those. It's like, what's the Beyond Doom, or there's a great one about id Software. I forget the name of it. I think it's that Beyond Doom. Anyway.
I wish I had had a recording device with me in my taxi ride to Los Angeles when I left BlizzCon last year, because my taxi driver apparently used to work for a company that did all of the shuttling around for Blizzard employees, and he would just not stop shitting on Blizzard employees and their tipping habits.
Really?
It was hilarious.
They're bad tippers? Really?
This dude was so so intense. It was one of the most awkward social experiences of my entire life. Wow. Katie and I were just trying to get to a harbor in LA so we could get on a short cruise to enjoy our anniversary, because it's always around BlizzCon.
Yeah.
And this guy is just like, "Ah, let me tell you about Mike Morheim."
Wow.
And I'm just sitting here being like, I just want to go on vacation.
Is this like an Uber guy?
It sounds like the kind of guy I wouldn't tip. You know, like people spend the whole time bitching to me. I'm like, you know what? I haven't had a good time. I'm not tipping you. Yeah, I'll pay you.
You're not getting tipped. That.
Tip is on top. You got to be good. Yeah. You got to be nice and pleasant.
Was it an Uber or a regular taxi?
I think it was technically an Uber, but it was like a Lincoln Town Car with leather seats. It was real old school.
Really?
And this guy had the most like my whole family's from Jersey. He had the most Jersey ass accent. Like, I'm like, how did you end up out here?
Yeah. getting no tips from Blizzard.
Yeah. Oh man. It was so, I don't do well in those situations. So I was just like sitting in the back, nodding. Every now and then I would look at Katie and, oh, it was bad.
Yeah. Right, well, you know, you got to have one of those once in a while just to keep you, just to remind you that you're alive. Have a bad Uber drive. We talked about the new content next week. Finally, a note that Blizzard claims, they did this through a press release, that Activision Blizzard claims that BFA is the best and fast selling expansion they have ever made. They didn't give specific numbers, because they don't do that now. Did they?
I thought they did.
Oh, it was like 4 million in the first day or something. Some weird.
But
like
that is basically is including pre-sale numbers. So it's how many people. So it's in the first day, but it's basically everyone who pre-bought and was playing. You know, we all bought our thing, you know, months ago. But this is then, you know, at the end of the first 24 hours of launch. This is how many copies have been sold, and that was more than any previous expansion that Blizzard had done.
Right.
But I don't know, you know, obviously they've done pre-sales before with Legion. You know, we all bought it a month or two in advance, I think. So I guess it's still super valid, and it's a 15-year-old game, and apparently people are still buying it in their droves and playing it, and playing on the day of launch, worldwide launch at the same time. Felt like there was a lot of people playing it. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, front page of Twitch, number one game, like 500,000 people watching people flying around that sword in Silithus, waiting for Magni to, oh, champions! Woos! Everyone zooms down. You know, it was really exciting. Mm. So I think there's definitely a lot to be said about the hype they managed to build around this particular expansion.
I agree. It says here, so I found the numbers, 3.4 million copies on launch day, and like you said, that includes pre-sales. So me buying it like months ahead is part of that. They say that set a WoW expansion record. They say it's not entirely clear if this figure also includes those pre-order sales, but I think we know that now through other sources. But anyway, it's a pretty massive number. This beats the previous record holder, 3.3 million sold in one day by Legion 2 years ago. 2010's Cataclysm also sold 3.3, so they tied. Previous Warcraft expansions have included, let's see, blah, 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 numbers, no. But it looks like, I mean, this is what you want, right? You want to beat the record of the one you just had, and then the next one, you want to beat that record. Like, that's your goal.
I think Mush Potatoes in chat says it really well. He says, the great sales are more of a comment about Legion's quality. And I think that's exactly it. It's like looking at Trump and saying, employment numbers are down, you know, unemployment numbers, good job, Trump. And it's like, well, yeah, you know, it's a trend. And, you know, you got to look at, what came before helps us get to where we need to be.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, the team delivered on Legion. You know, it was a spectacular expansion from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Like, I really, really enjoyed my time in Legion.
I feel like in BFA, I'm sitting here waiting for not the shoe to drop, but it's like me, I'm enjoying the hell out of everything, but I'm standing back going, all right, let's see how you do this time, Blizzard. Are you going to be able to top that last thing? Because that was maybe the best thing you ever made. How you going to do? Like, I am definitely.
But already, think about how much we're playing.
Yeah.
Versus how much we were playing at the tail end of Legion.
Right.
Like, we're back.
Yeah.
Like, this is very much like, okay, you got us. You know, holy crap, you've done it again. They've already bottled that lightning again.
Right.
And it is, you know, it's amazing to run around and have fun. And anytime we can just spend time criticizing them for like 20 minutes, you know, that's perfect. That is the time in which we are having the best time of our lives.
Yeah.
You know, if we're not criticizing the game, we're not loving it.
Right.
I was about to say, would we even know about all of these weird little things that are bothering us if we weren't spending 30 hours a week playing this freaking
game? No, that's true. It's absolutely true. Like that's when I get nitpicky, is when I'm in front of it all the time, right? Like that's a testament to the game. And here's the thing. Like I've fiddled around with every MMO under the sun, a bunch of weird Korean ones. I'll check into Guild Wars 2 once in a while. I like ESO. Like there's some good quality stuff out there, but at the end of the day, none of them come together like this does ever. They just don't. They just don't. And that doesn't mean they're bad. It just means the standard is that high. So even when we're nitpicking, we're nitpicking at the high standard. And there are people right now yelling at their phones going, whatever, you guys, freaking Blizzard apologists, this and that.
Subscribe to a World of Warcraft podcast.
Right. It's on you. But also, the idea...
Tune in and hear why we don't play it. I was too busy getting laid.
Yeah,
you know, and then I got back. I played some FIFA, some Call of Duty, and then I got high. And right about then, it seemed like a good idea to play some WoW.
Yeah,
it's a long draw from his bait.
It's nice to see that Terps are still working on his American accent. I like it.
Yeah. Oh, great. People confuse me for American all the time.
Yeah, it's happening right now.
Terpser, that was a bang up impression of 90% of the car YouTubers that I recently started watching.
Thank you.
Oh, car YouTubers, those guys have accents. I'll tell you what. All right, well, let's see what's happening around the rest of Blizzard. Heroes is getting Mephisto next week. He is a
Mephisto,
the primeval of hatred. Lord of hatred.
It's the first time I've been able to play Heroes and not be the most hated character on the team.
Yeah, no kidding. He's a hateful bastard, and he seems pretty fun, and he's really weird compared to a lot of other heroes. He's an assassin. He's on the PTR now. He'll be out next week along with the redone Hanamura map, which by all accounts is a much better version of what it was previously.
Oh, it's so much better.
Yeah, and that's good, right? Like, that last one was such a bummer.
It was a shame because it's so pretty. It's such a gorgeous tile set, and the way they've adapted the Overwatch style to work.
I loved what they were doing. Like, I loved what they were trying to do. Let's put it that way. It got away from them. That multiple, you know, trying to manage.
Payload stuff is so much better now.
Yeah.
It's a tug of war.
Much better.
There's lots of team fighting around the objective. It gets harder as you kind of get, you've got kind of three different routes. And so it feels like there's natural catch up. You don't feel too behind. Then really cool little thing they've done with the watchtowers is they got sentries on. So you clear the watchtower and then it kind of, the bots will protect it a little bit.
Oh, right.
I took it three times before I realized how it was working.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, where's the thing I pick up? Where is it?
Yeah,
and
you're
then I was
used
just
to
out on the map and I'm like, oh, we have sight. Oh, they're sight towers.
Sight towers
you have to fight.
Instead of just sitting on them and having it convert, having those guys now be your guards. I like that you got to work for it. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
That's a nice addition.
And it just also means, though, you don't have to, like, worry about someone just backdooring and just standing there and, oh, we've lost. What's happened? Oh, okay. You know, there's at least some notification as they fight them. You're like, okay, we need to get down there and protect the tower.
Yeah. Indeed. Make sure you check out Core and ITN. Both shows go pretty deep into what that all those changes are about. What else here? Diablo for Switch seems fun. I mean, you got to play it. What'd you think?
Yeah, it was Diablo on the Switch. It's really, really good. It's really dangerous, I think, because one of the few things that stopped me playing Diablo was going outside and/or going to bed, both of which still be there. It's got all the season modes, all the new theme stuff. Like, it's completely paratable. It has, it's not BattleNet transferred.
Yeah.
So it's not, and the thing is, I was saying to, like, guys, Fortnite can do it. If Fortnite, you can play your PC character on the Switch as well. Like, come on. And they're like, you know.
Yeah, we get it. You can't do it on PlayStation because Sony's aware.
But what it
yeah,
does right. do, exactly. right. What they do, which is kind of fun, is if you make a character and you play on a friend's Switch, you can transfer that over to your Switch.
Oh.
So if the first time you've played Diablo is with a friend, and genuinely, as a social game and the couch co-op play, really, really good fun.
Yeah.
And it's one of the best ways to enjoy that. And any, like, they even got it working on the Joy-Con. So you can have a Joy-Con. And, you know, the like, I was like, how does this work? You've got like four buttons. How does, you know, surely I can't. But yeah, you can. You know, it all genuinely works. But I was playing on a pro controller most of the time, and it was just like playing on a console.
Yeah. You know. And it's a great console. The PS4 version is real good. That's great.
Yeah.
And they got it. It's running 60 frames. It's, you know, it's full. It's impressive what they've managed to do, you know, with the game. Yeah. But it's everything. You buy it and you get Necromancer, you get Reaper of Souls, you get all the season modes, you get everything.
I just wish you got the Battle.net thing. And Garrett, you and I have talked about this. I'm still probably going to end up with it, but I just am bummed I can't do that.
The way they look at it is seasons are what people play, and so it doesn't really matter. Like, every 3 months, you're starting over again. So all you'll do is fire it up, start playing a season, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, but the way I look at it, here's how I play it. I'll do seasons occasionally, but then sometimes I'll ignore a season and just focus on my mains, and I've got this amazing Paragon level that I love to cultivate. And that gets added to when season characters roll in.
I also like the unique items that you can collect from each season. You know, part of the collector in me enjoys that, even though I haven't picked up Diablo in quite a while. But,
right. But you would. I guess the point is this. This would be, I mean, I'm going to get it. Who am I kidding? I'm going to get it because I have a Switch and I love my Switch and I would love to play
they
it on
know
there.
That.
How, they, and they do I'm know that. Aware. They do know that. But man, I would probably buy another one for a friend of mine if I knew that their Battle.net stuff would move over. Like, I feel
and
like
exactly,
it would just...
And to be able to play on the PC, have a great time, and be like, ah, I got to run. I'll keep playing. Don't worry. You know.
And not only that's cool. A thing. That's a really important thing here. PC gamers, I am finding just through my own non-scientific polling, and myself included, they're hardcore PC players... And their other gaming thing now is the Switch. It's not other consoles. They may, if they're super hardcore and they want to make sure to play Spider-Man on launch day and all that. But if they're if they're just like, I need to be able to take my indies on the go and that kind of stuff, that device is the thing right now. So
it's always been the case where you're often either Xbox or PlayStation, but everyone tends to be Nintendo.
Yeah.
So you would have like, oh, I've got a DS, so I've got a I've got this, I've got that. Yeah, and the Switch is now becoming that. It's got a huge install base, lots of great games coming out. They've got their online services launching soon as well. I think Diablo is expensive, as all Switch titles are, $60.
Yeah.
But it is all the games. It's just tricky because, obviously, we already own all of those things. Yeah. You know, I have Rise of the Necromancer. I have Reaper of Souls. I have all these things.
Right.
But do I want to have and pay that to be able to play it kind of as I'm sat on a bus somewhere or doing something? Yeah, I do. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think Blizzard knows that.
Someone in the chat says, action RPGs with a controller? No. This is an established thing. Blizzard nailed it.
It works with their
This is not new. This has been proven on the PS4.
Yeah, and it's good.
You got the dodge. The dodge is actually kind of fun, and you kind of get used to just kind of rolling out of telegraphed attacks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They killed it.
I mean,
the interface is pretty strong as well. There's no touch in there, and they were like, it just doesn't feel good. And I was like, yeah, but I'd like it for menus. Like, I'd like to be able to that thing and that thing. But past that, it works across all of the controller inputs. Mm-hmm. You in all the configurations. There's local, offline mode. Firstly, it's the first time you can play Diablo 3 offline.
That's true.
And then when you sync back up, that's it. Boom, away you go.
So
the only thing you don't have
available
in offline mode is leaderboards. So it's like, all right, fine.
With me. I don't pay attention to any of that stuff anyway. So, but all of it, Rifts, Greater Rifts, all that stuff's in there, right? Like all of it.
Yep. Whole shebang.
Damn it. I'm going to have to get it.
Season of Greed will be there when it comes out, in theory, I guess. It's coming out in fall, and we haven't got that much left of fall. So I reckon it's a month or two.
Adam in the chat, to answer your question, he says, have you guys tried it on the Steam controller? The PC version does not support controller input.
No.
They never did that. It's a complete redone interface for consoles, because that's how you should do this. You don't want to try to, cram it in there and make it work out.
I can't imagine it would be good because the PC version doesn't have the dodge.
Right, right.
Makes...
You have to enable that on controller, which is, I don't know. But yeah.
I agree.
It is fun. Genuinely, you can play the game and you can be very in control of what's going on.
Yeah. Maybe if at BlizzCon they get up and announce Diablo 4, my excitement level will probably go down for this, because I'll be thinking about what's next, right? Not just another port of 3. But
yeah, but the thing is, if 3 will be the groundwork, which means 4 comes out day and date on the Switch, and you can start making your choice in terms of where do you want to play that next iteration.
Mm.
And it might not be 4. It might be Diablo 3...
Forever or online or
something like that. Yeah. And it's like, oh my god, Deckard's back, but he's pissed.
Yeah, he's pissed. He's a demon.
I'm gonna open up a can
of whoop ass. I'd play that game. That sounds all right. All right, what else? Hearthstone, what's going on over there? Anything? Oh, I forgot to mention, there's rumors of a Netflix Diablo show. If you watch the Castlevania animated series that was on Netflix. And there's a second season of that coming. Super gritty, hardcore, bloody, awesome thing. It's great. It's better than any recent Castlevania game, that's for sure. There's a rumor that Blizzard is in talks with Netflix for an original animated series based in the Diablo universe. I don't know if any of that's corroborated or confirmed yet or any of that, but I think right now it's purely rumor, and it sounds awesome, and I would be totally
The Castlevania series is awesome, so give me something in Diablo in that style. I will watch it.
Yeah, totally, dude. Make it bloody. It doesn't have to be
I will not spend more money because I'm already spending money on Netflix on that.
It doesn't,
totally.
It doesn't need to be cussy. It doesn't have to have a bunch of sex in it, but it needs to be bloody and gory, okay?
Scott, don't ruin it already.
Let
them put sex in if they want to put sex in. I'm not a dad.
Deckard
I would
Cain.
Like violence and sex. Is that okay?
Deckard Cain and Leia. Oh, wait. She's his uncle.
Oh, wow.
Never mind. Don't do that.
Technically not related.
Sorry. All right. Hearthstone. No. Let's go back to Hearthstone. What's happening, Garrett?
If I was in control of this conversation,
Puzzle Labs came
I would
out.
Eject you from the call.
Right. Oh, hey, your favorite new mode, puzzles. Puzzles.
Yeah, really
I
good.
Actually,
really good.
I have to eat some humble pie. This is my favorite single player mode ever.
Mm. Really?
It's really, really good.
That's a lot for you.
I nearly smashed up my laptop playing it, but yeah.
That's a lot to hear Garrett say that.
The thing is it's mad because I would keep doing exactly the same thing again, even though I know it didn't work the previous turn. But I'd be like, no, because I have to. So this guy needs to be on 3 health. So this, I have to do this. Okay. Now a trick, but now it doesn't work, you know. And it's just, I'm a little small now, but holy crap, I was very close to just killing
your
everyone.
Angry Terpster voice is like a British Charlie Day, and I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. But I mean, you normally, Garrett, you're pretty poo poo on the single player modes.
It's not for I'm poo poo on it for my own personal enjoyment of the. It's not for me most of the time. Like a lot of people are like, why do you get so mad about a thing you don't have to pay money for? It's like no, if you enjoy it, enjoy it. It's all for you. It's just like I don't get excited about it, but. Yeah, after the last episode when I really like it was a knee-jerk reaction because Patrick was like, oh, you do the Hearthstone show and you didn't watch the video on this. I'm like, no, I didn't, because I don't care about single player modes. And we don't talk about it on the show because there's no strategy the dungeon runs. Hope you get lucky is the strategy the dungeon runs. Mm-hmm. Which is part of the reason I don't particularly love that mode. I wish Patrick was here to defend himself because I did end up going and watching the video and it was so dull. Oh my God. It's the majority of the videos I'm talking about interface, and I love interface, and I was falling asleep watching this.
We believe the best interface is one you don't see. I was like, one that works.
But I got to say, like after all of that, after poo-pooing on it and after saying that the video for it was one of the most boring things I've ever watched come out of Team 5, it's a great mode and the interface is awesome. They knocked it out of the park. Having a restart button and not having to come out of the puzzle and select the next one because they are all one turn puzzles. It is perfectly executed.
Mm. I mean, maybe I need to check this then. Cause I was.
Don't, Scott. You will end up killing yourself and someone else. It is so frustrating. genuinely. And the thing is I did them without looking up solutions because that was the whole the discipline. But like doing it now, with there being now enough time where people would that you, I'm sure you can get like full walkthroughs and stuff on YouTube, like the temptation would be too much.
Yeah.
And you'll ruin it.
I get it. I'm just kind of I like a good puzzle game, and I was thinking of it as just, oh, this is another little throwaway kind of brawl thing. But hearing Garrett say that and even hearing your frustration, it sounds like, I don't know, I might be into it. I'll check.
I really am surprised. Surprised. And again, maybe much like the Motherlode, it's my expectations being extremely low, but I don't know. I think there's something special here.
So finally in Overwatch, there's not a lot happening right now, but we didn't get a chance on the show to talk about the D.Va short.
Shooting Star. Yeah.
I don't love it, and I'll tell you why.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What? Here's what I know. I know. Well, let me explain myself.
Is it the male companion?
I'm a giant. No. Okay. I'm a giant D.Va fan in the game. I love playing her. She's one of my favorite characters. I think she's awesome. When I heard this was about her, I got really excited. And I went and cranked it on. And what I got was...
Got to be a better way to word that.
When I heard it was about D.Va, I just started cranking it.
Yeah, I started cranking it. I turned it on, and that doesn't work either. I push play on the button for the video, and I get some dude I don't know or care about, and never understood why I was supposed to give a rat's poo about this dude. And turns out she's got, what, PTSD from previous battles? So it's not all bubblegum and Pop-Tarts for old D.Va. That's all fine. It's all really tropey standard story stuff. My problem with the action was that it looked really cool. Like, really cool, the action. But it was just a... It was almost like a demo of running through her abilities. Here's her defense matrix. Here's her missile thing. Here's her regular shooty deal. And by the way, all this flying she does, she can't really do that in the game. It's short bursts with shift and those are cooldown.
Genuinely, I think when I was watching it, I was like, they're going to put this in the game. Like, they're going to have a dogfight in. Because they did it with Lucio Ball. Like, Lucio Ball was like, you know, if I said to you, you're going to be playing Rocket League in Overwatch, you'd have been like, yeah. And then they did it.
Yeah.
I look at this and I think, genuinely, it'd be good fun to fool around with some of the flying characters in a sort of aerial combat type, you know, open play mode.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think they could and should. I completely agree with you. The first time I saw it, I called what was going to happen before it happened because it's super cliche.
Yeah.
My favorite scene is that PTSD scene when she's there just looking at the battle damage on the mech and then cutting back with the rain going everywhere and it's like, I'm hit! And, you know, her being a 19-year-old girl having to deal with that sort of crap.
Mm-hmm.
But still, everyone else is out, you know, R&R. I thought everyone had died. But no, they're out recovering. Their mechs are destroyed, but they're just taking some time out.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, she's like, I can't take time out because... Someone needs to be here. Someone needs to be here in case it happens. And everyone's saying, yeah, but it won't. Don't worry. And then it does.
Mm-hmm.
And she jumps in. She does it. It's where the overload ability, I guess, the genesis from that, she then obviously builds in so she can press a button in the game. So we haven't got to do a skill shot.
Right.
Even though I'm like, that probably sounds like a fair kind of compromise there. You know, you would die to a lot less D.Va ults.
Right.
But pros would probably be even more powerful with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's a very cool thing. I don't really like the co-friend guy.
He's just useless. Like, he's not there for anything.
And he just feels, again, very generic. Like, he doesn't really add too much to it.
There's a buggy that she's like, hey, cool. I'm going to eat these Cheeto chips and also a thing that looks like Mountain Dew because I'm a gamer. Check me out. I'm a gamer. I wasn't into that.
I will concede it does have a little bit of the same issue I have with Terminator 1, which is I think any mention of the war in the past or I guess future in Terminator 1 is more interesting than the movie itself.
Oh right, yeah. That's good. That's good.
The PTSD flashbacks, like I want to see the fight in the rain. That's what I wish this. That's what I wish this was. But at the same time, I don't know. I really dug the story they told with D.Va and. I like that she's kind of this like control freak that feels like she has to carry the burden, even though no one's asking her to. I don't know.
It's all right.
I still dug it, and D.Va is my favorite freaking Overwatch character.
Yeah, she's great over there. She's amazing. She's an incredible player and her character. I love playing her, but I don't know. Some of this just came off as somebody Bo yesterday on Core. We did Core late this week. He made a pretty interesting point. Everybody's been talking about the Cyberpunk 2077 thing video that got released and all that. And kind of getting in the mood for, you know, your Blade Runner kind of future and stuff. And he says, it occurred to him the other day, Overwatch is Disney-ified cyberpunk. Like, people have cyber implants.
It's Sombra. The character they showed was Sombra.
Yeah.
You know, V was literally Sombra.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah. So if you think about it that way... I mean, you can get a little off the Disney platform if you go search stuff on Google.
I wish... Oh, God, Kyle. Or Scott. I just did what you did to me.
You just did it!
What was I going to say? I wish Kyle was here, because Kyle's not big on, he's not big on Blade Runner. And his thought is that there's two schools of sci-fi. Which one do you prefer? Do you prefer Blade Runner or do you prefer Fifth Element? Because they're both, especially when they're on Earth, cut from the same cloth, but the tone is so wildly different.
Oh yeah, no, it's cyberpunk as a genre is a negative nilly. The big thing though, I would say to him is, I'd say, oh, young Kyle, know this: there probably is no Fifth Element without Gibson's novel Neuromancer.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily. I don't think he's making that argument. I think he's just saying that one is fun and a good place to revisit, and one is a real downer and probably not something you put on for fun. Yeah. Although I disagree. When I'm sick, I put on Blade Runner because I've seen it a million times and it puts me to sleep.
Yeah, I love Blade Runner. Freaking. It depends on what stage of life I'm in. Right now, I really like dystopic stuff, so I'm super into it. but ask me at a different time, and I might go, "Oh yeah, I want it bright and shiny," you know. And yeah, I totally get.
Yeah, so I think the Overwatch animated shorts were originally envisaged to be about 3 months, every 3 months, and it's because they had this new rendering style and engine. It was going to be much quicker than the previous sort of 9 to 12 month style of the pre-rendered cinematics from WoW and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The problem is Blizzard realized, hang on, we can render these things so quick. Why don't we put more stuff in them? Mm-hmm. Let's make them twice as long. Let's make them three times as long. Mm-hmm. And it's turned into an annual event now. Mm-hmm. And you know, I want them to scale the stories back because I want more variety of character and story. Like genuinely, like Lucio getting his legs recalibrated. Yeah. And, cool. Tell me about, he's got robot legs. How did that happen? Or maybe what's it like dealing with those? Mm-hmm. He seems always, hey, I'm at the party, rule the music. But maybe he's he lost his legs in a really scary way and he's dealing with some demons.
Yeah.
There's really cool things they can explore that these shorts were meant to bring us. But because they're getting so awe-inspiring and wow, and like that aerial combat scene was incredible.
That was really good.
And literally when she's falling through the air and I was like, whoa, this is exceptional.
Yeah.
However, I could shelve the exceptional moments to have more regular moments.
Yeah. I also like the Matrix style thing she was fighting. That was
wasn't it? They were like Sentinels,
yeah,
weren't they?
Yeah.
Sentinel.
Yeah, they're like Sentinels.
Yeah. I cool. would like them to roadmap this stuff like a Marvel movie. Give me a short for every single hero with their origin story, and then announce that you're doing a longer form one where they all get together and kick butt.
Oh, exactly. Could you imagine the Avengers of Overwatch?
Oh my gosh.
How cool that would be.
It'd be amazing.
That'd be the coolest.
I would watch that. I would watch
everyone
that right
would
now.
Watch it.
Yeah,
because it's got the same grounding as Marvel Comics did. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, all these nerdy geek guys like them, but they're genuinely good stories.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you need. Because then people go, we go, and we tell everyone, nah, seriously, it's really good. Everyone else goes, and then they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Overwatch could rule the world if they wanted to. If they wanted to just be like, hey, we have a partnership with Pixar and Disney. They're going to be writing some movies and putting them out for us. And,
dude. I mean, they really could.
I don't think
could.
Blizzard will ever do a movie partnership again. I think they were so burnt from the Legendary thing.
Yeah.
And you look at, Duncan Jones has said, that ain't happening again. It genuinely is. Blizzard is a control freak of the highest caliber because they equally have the highest caliber working with them.
Right.
So why partner? They've got infinite money. They have the best people in the world. They don't need someone else.
But that's why Netflix is the perfect partner, because Netflix has a track record of giving full control to whoever needs it. Well, you just need a place where the broader audience can get it, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, but YouTube. You put it on YouTube. You put it on the launcher. Like, the thing is, they can put it anywhere. They can put it on Netflix as well, but very few people have Netflix and can't get YouTube. There's 130 million Netflix accounts. How many YouTube accounts are there?
Oh, there are way more, but my point is it takes it from internet culture to broader culture. It takes it to a place where people see, oh, it's on Netflix. Oh, that's interesting. I'll check this out and see what this is. I think there's some credibility there that they don't earn any other way. They earn it with us automatically because we're just stoked about it. But
potentially.
People, yeah.
I just don't think they need to, in all fairness. I think they can create a destination piece. And we've seen that, you know, their cinematics go to the front page of Reddit, front page of YouTube. You know, like Old Soldier got like, what was it, like 2-3 million views in the first like
12 hours.
Yeah. You know, that blows a lot of Netflix stuff out of the water.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. I just think that, you know, Blizzard would be better just being Blizzard, doing Blizzard stuff.
Yeah. Be like maybe Blizzard happier, is what we're saying.
Make some good stuff.
Everybody be like Blizzard. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show, everybody. Big, big show. Hope everybody enjoyed it. I know I did. I can't wait to just talking about why I want to play it right now. If I was Patrick, I would be because that's what he does when he's on the show. Just kidding, Patrick. Hope you're having a good time in France. Don't forget the website, theinstance.net. You can go find this and archives of the show and all that stuff. Before we get out of here, we'll go around the room. Amove.tv for Garrett. Garrett, anything going on you want to mention to people?
I'm still talking a lot of Warcraft lore on my solo show, so go find that, R2-T2, wherever podcasts can be found. Just me. I did a thing on Bwonsamdi and Loa, because I realized I didn't know much about them. And if I was going to read up on it, might as well do a show about
it. Yeah, why not? Make a show. That's a great idea. Amove.tv. You can find that and many other fine shows happening over there. Terpster, anything happening with you? You're probably a little bit of a reprieve for a minute until BlizzCon or something.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to BlizzCon. Be good fun.
Yeah, should be good. I'm going, of course.
As Blizzard asked us to do a podcast panel thing again, like they
not
did last
yet.
Week.
I did reach out and ask.
I missed it, Scott. I missed it. I know they did it to spite me. They knew I wasn't going last year. The only time, and they're like, you know what? You can have a podcast.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I reached out and asked them, and they have not said they haven't come back with anything definitive yet. But also, they're always kind of last minute on this sort of stuff.
I was about to say, we didn't hear about the stuff around this time last year. It was a little later.
Yeah, so they probably are still getting their crap together. Plus, they just had a big turnover in the community team.
And they're doing stuff out in PAX as well at the moment. And I don't know, because Ian's out in PAX. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if they were going to talk about 8-1 stuff there.
Well, he's doing the keynote, isn't he? Or something?
He's doing something there.
Yeah,
so I'm hoping that... Because if you remember with Legion, it was coming out and we had the... 7-1 trailer was premiered at Gamescom with the game coming out like a week afterwards or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, yeah, there's the confidence we have. It's like, you know, we haven't even shipped the expansion. We're going to talk about the next patch.
Right.
And
right,
whereas this time it's out, but I think that they were super busy. So it's like, you know, it's got to be soon though. We've got to be talking about 8-1 soon.
Yeah. I think that if it's a keynote, it may be more generalized topics about leading a team and, you know, how they reach their goals or whatever. But hopefully they get specific and talk more about what's going on with 8-1 because everybody is very excited about the progression of this expansion. So we'll see, this weekend, right, is PAX. Starts today? Yeah.
Yep.
Ish.
Yeah, PAX West, and then there's Dragon Con going on. And
a few things going on. If you want hairy men in hairy suits sweating like pigs, yes, go to Dragon Con.
Yes.
One of them is Justin Robert Young.
Yeah, one of those will be him. See if you can find him. A needle in the haystack, as it were. Hey, Instant Show is our Twitter account. You can find me at Scott Johnson. Garrett, art for Garrett. Terpsters at @the_T. And you can find more shows like this at frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Garrett, for Terpster, and for Patrick. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Buckling may cause drowsiness. Buxley here to answer your World of Warcraft questions in this edition of Ask Buxley. This question is about herbalism. Dear Buxley, what can you tell me about herbalism? Herbalism? That guy? Oh, Mr. Herbalism is the vendor way out on the coast of Zuldazar. Herb has a lot of great deals on... Wait a minute, you mean flower picking. Well, that's different. Herbalism is fairly easy, but it can be confusing. You can be out in the middle of the jungle with plants all over the place, and yet you can't pick any of them. Then other times, you'll see plants sticking to the wall or the side of a tree, which you can pick. You have to be very careful of these. Most of those are real, but there are some jokers in Azeroth that think it's pretty funny to suction cup fake herbs to walls. If you hear a loud pop like this, then that's a fake herb. People that practice herbalism are pretty easy to spot. You can be riding around discussing strategies about how to handle a particular bad guy, and the next thing you know, you're riding alone. You look for your companion, and they're way behind you, staring at a flower. Now, don't get me wrong, herbs are great. You just have to be sure that if you're with an herbalist, you aren't in a field of flowers before you go charging off into battle. Thanks for your question! If you'd like to see what I'm up to every day, follow Ask Buxley on Twitter. You can listen to the archives at AskBuxley.com. Herbs are money, friend!
Sylvanas and Jaina square off in new battle over boat suppression. It's the Overly Dramatic News, I'm Hunts the Wind. While relations between the Horde and Alliance have seesawed between cautious cooperation and open warfare, one constant on Azeroth has been the ongoing battles over intellectual property. An unexpected new front in this war of ideas opened recently when Sylvanas Windrunner filed suit against Jaina Proudmoore, alleging the mage infringed the Banshee Queen's copyright on, quote, dramatic entrances through parting clouds via aerial transport methods that defy the laws of physics, unquote. Sylvanas claims that on or about August 7, 2018, she was conducting defensive operations on the ramparts of Lordaeron when she witnessed Jaina arrive on the scene in a flying galleon. This entrance was so similar to how Sylvanas arrived at the Battle of the Broken Shore that the Queen screamed in frustration, causing the deaths of dozens of nearby Alliance and non-Forsaken Horde. The suit seeks monetary damages for Sylvanas' emotional distress, compensation for the loss of value of the dead soldiers, partially offset by their value as risen skeletons, and a cease and desist order on the further use of the aforementioned galleon. Miss Proudmoore's spokesmage said she was unavailable for comment due to a previously scheduled trip to visit family, but that this latest move by the Queen of the Forsaken was a very shippy thing to do. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.